Children, do you know what it is like to look forward to something for which you have to wait a long time? Maybe it's your next birthday or some special trip like a fishing trip or a hunting trip or maybe a family vacation that's way off. Around our house these days, there's excitement that Christmas is finally going to be here for tomorrow after we've waited for it for quite a while. Well, it's one thing to wait for weeks or months for something exciting that is coming. But can you imagine waiting for hundreds of years? Of course, no one person could live and wait that long. But at the time that Jesus was born, the people of Israel had been waiting hundreds of years for God to fulfill his promise to send a Savior. The prophet Isaiah had foretold that God would do this in the 8th century B.C., and that means more than 700 years had passed without that promise being fulfilled. Well, that was a long time. Some people had even given up hope that it would ever be fulfilled. Now, of course, they shouldn't have done that, because when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Today, we're going to meet a man in Scripture who was still believing in God's promises even 700 years after they had been given. His name is Simeon. And God even gave Simeon a personal promise, which Simeon believed also. When God fulfilled his promises, Simeon celebrated by praising God in verses that have become known as Simeon's Song. And this is the fourth and the final of what we're calling Luke's Nativity Hymns. And as we'll see, Simeon's song, which is known by its title Nunc Dimittis in Latin, reiterates and expands upon the themes of the earlier songs. It draws upon the ancient prophecies of Isaiah that came to fulfillment before Simeon's own eyes. We're going to consider this passage with a simple outline this morning. First of all, we're going to look at Simeon's situation. Secondly, Simeon's song. And then some concluding reflections and application. Understanding Simeon's song should help us prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ with a greater appreciation of its significance as part of the fulfillment of God's ancient promises. So first of all, we consider Simeon's situation in verses 21 through 27. In order to understand the situation in which Simeon's song appears, we'll first look at the setting and then at Simeon himself. So the setting as we find it presented to us in verses 21 through 24. Luke portrays Joseph and Mary as faithfully obeying God's law following the birth of Jesus. The law required circumcision of a male child after 8 days. And through his circumcision, Jesus was given the sign of the covenant and was formally inducted into Israel. It was important that Jesus then keep the law throughout his life, and this relationship with the law began with his circumcision. The Apostle Paul would later reflect upon the significance of this. He wrote to the Galatians, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law." Jesus came to bring redemption to those who failed to keep God's law. And his perfect obedience to the law was a necessary part of that work of redemption. Jesus was the perfect Israelite, succeeding where all others had failed. Luke 2, 22 through 24 continues this emphasis on conformity to the law. "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. The Mosaic law stated that mothers were ritually unclean for 40 days following the birth of a son. This meant that they could not enter the temple or join in the corporate worship of Israel until they engaged in a ritual of purification. And 2 sacrifices were involved, that of a lamb for a burnt offering and that of a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering." Now, Luke makes no mention of a lamb, but rather he mentions 2 turtle doves or young pigeons. And this tells us that most likely Joseph and Mary were relatively poor, because the law allowed a second bird to be substituted for a lamb by those who could not afford a lamb. And these sacrifices were offered at the temple for Mary's purification. Another aspect of the law was in view here was the presentation of Jesus at the temple. You'll recall that the 10th plague in Egypt involved the death of the firstborn. And the firstborn of Israel were spared when their doorposts were marked with the blood of a lamb, that event that came to be celebrated annually as the Passover. At that time, the Lord claimed all firstborn males for himself. They were to be set apart as holy unto him. But rather than draft every firstborn son in Israel into the priestly service, the Lord claimed all the sons born into the tribe of Levi for that purpose. Firstborn sons from the other tribes had to be redeemed from this service by the payment of 5 shekels to the priest. And though Luke doesn't mention the payment involved, this redemption of Jesus as a firstborn son in the tribe of Judah is what was involved here in the presentation at the temple. What we see in these verses is Joseph and Mary acting as faithful Israelites, fulfilling the requirements of the law after the birth of their firstborn son. This is what brings them to Jerusalem, and this is what sets the stage for the meeting of Simeon and Jesus. So now we want to look at Simeon himself in verses 25 through 27. We meet him in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon is described simply as a man in Jerusalem. He's not given any title or official capacity such as priest, and it appears that he is a layman. He is said to be just. This is the same word that is translated as righteous in Luke's earlier description of Zacharias and Elizabeth in chapter 1, verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. As a just, as a righteous man, Simeon seeks to live according to God's law. Now, this doesn't mean he is sinless, since one aspect of the law was the provision of sacrifice to pay the penalty of sin. Such a righteous man would seek to live righteously, and then when he sinned, he would freely acknowledge his sins, and he would perform the prescribed sacrifices, trusting in the Lord to forgive him. Thus, he is also devout. He is serious in nurturing his relationship with the Lord. And Simeon is said to be waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, in a previous sermon in this series, I've reflected upon the sad spiritual state of affairs in Israel at the time. There had been 4 centuries of prophetic silence. There was no king upon David's throne. The Romans occupied the land. It seems like many in Israel had given up the prophetic hope, but Simeon was not among them. He clung to the promises of the prophets. They had anticipated the Lord bringing consolation, bringing comfort to his people through the provision of salvation. For example, Isaiah 40, 1 through 2 says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says our God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." Or this prophetic word in Isaiah 52, 9, "Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." The Lord had promised comfort for Israel and those promises. And he was not alone in this regard. Down in verse 38 in chapter 2 of Luke, Anna is described as one as among all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Simeon, Anna, and such others were Israelites waiting with expectant faith for the Lord to bring his promised revelation to Israel. Because they believed God, they had not given up hope. Next, we're told that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And we see the influence of the Holy Spirit upon him in verses 26 and 27. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. To this one who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Holy Spirit had revealed that he would not die until he had personally seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Imagine that promise from the Lord. And the Spirit led him to the temple at the time when Joseph and Mary were there so that he would encounter Jesus. In some way, not described to us, the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that this baby was the Messiah. And he took Jesus up in his arms, and he blessed God with the verses that have come to be known as the Song of Simeon, or by its opening Latin words, Nunc Dimittis. So having looked at Simeon's situation, now let's turn to look at this Song of Simeon in verses 29 through 32. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now let's look at this song phrase by phrase. It begins, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. First of all, note that the song is directed to the Lord. As verse 28 informed us, this is Simeon blessing God. And in addressing the Lord, Simeon identifies himself as your servant. And Mary had used the feminine form of this same noun to describe herself as the maidservant of the Lord. Like Mary, Simeon finds his identity in submission to the Lord as his master. He sees himself as a servant of the Lord. The first word in the Greek in this sentence is the word now. Now. And this is significant, for the whole point of the song is that Simeon stands at a turning point in time. Like all the faithful in Israel, he had been waiting for the fulfillment of prophecy. And now the waiting is over. The time is fulfilled. The one for whom Israel had been waiting has come, and Simeon has held him in his arms. The Holy Spirit had told Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah with his own eyes. And having now seen him, Simeon is ready to die. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The Lord had promised salvation to his people, and Simeon declares that he has seen this salvation from God in the unlikely guise of helpless little baby boy just 40 days old. But he sees this baby with the eyes of faith, based on the revelation of God's word that has been supplemented to him by the Holy Spirit. And for anyone who has seen Jesus with the eyes of faith, death is not an enemy to be feared. It is what it was for Simeon, a departure in peace. And Simeon now proceeds to speak of the promised salvation as that which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This baby is not just Simeon's personal salvation. Jesus is the salvation God has prepared before the face of all peoples. Simeon understands that the arrival of Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 52:10. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Mary's song had focused on God's provision of salvation for Israel, speaking of the promises to Abraham and to his seed. Zacharias' song had done the same with its opening lines, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Even the angel's song seemed directed primarily to Israel through the representative of the shepherds, although the good tidings of great joy were said to be for all people. Here in Simeon's song, we have explicit mention of the impact of salvation beyond Israel. Indeed, having praised God for the salvation prepared before the face of all the peoples, Simeon goes on to speak of the Gentiles before he even speaks of Israel. The salvation that Simeon had seen in the baby Jesus is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Once more, Simeon understands God to be fulfilling ancient prophecy. In the servant song of Isaiah 49, the Lord declares, "I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Simeon speaks specifically of the light bringing revelation to the Gentiles. Now, the oracles of God, the scriptures, and the words of the prophets had been granted only to Israel under the Old Covenant. With regard to such special revelation, the Gentiles had always been in darkness. But in Jesus, that was changing. In fact, Luke, who records this song of Simeon, will go on in the sequel to his gospel, the book of Acts, to provide a record of the light of revelation in Christ going forth into all the world. But, of course, this inclusion of the Gentiles does not come at the expense of Israel. Simeon also speaks of the salvation that has come in Jesus as the glory of your people Israel. The prophets had anticipated the special role of Israel in bringing light to the Gentiles. Listen to Isaiah speak such prophecy directly to Israel in Isaiah 60. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." The arrival of Jesus meant glory to Israel in part because it was the glory of Israel that salvation would proceed from her to the Gentiles. As Jesus was born into Israel, marked with a sign of God's covenant with Israel, and perfectly kept the law given to Israel, he was fulfilling all that Israel had been called to do, but had failed to achieve. In Jesus, Israel reached her destiny. And so Jesus brought glory to Israel. Her salvation shined forth the revelation of salvation to the whole world. Can you begin to see some of the significance of that first little word in Simeon's song? In Greek, it's the word nun. In Latin, it's the word nunc. In English, it's our little word now. This now was more than just a turning point in Simeon's life, so that he was ready to die because the Lord had fulfilled his wonderful promise to him. It was that Simeon had held the Savior in his own arms. But Simeon's now meant much more than that. It meant a turning point in the history of God's redemption of a people for himself. It meant the time of fulfillment of prophecy had come. In Jesus, God was providing the consolation of Israel. In Jesus, God was sending a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. In Jesus, God was bringing glory to Israel. The time of waiting was over. The hopes and dreams of all the years were now being realized through the person of this little baby. As we look back upon the birth of Jesus, we need to understand it as the turning point in history that it was. Our culture formally recognizes this in the division of time between B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. Our calendars implicitly declare Jesus to be Lord, though many people refuse to acknowledge him as such. At this Christmas time, we need to honor Jesus as the Lord of history and the Lord of our lives as well. We can join Simeon in rejoicing that the birth of this baby fulfilled so many promises of God. If we have trusted in Jesus to forgive our sins and to grant us peace with God, then we can look to him as our Savior. But we can imitate Simeon in another way as well, for there are promises yet to be fulfilled. The one born as a baby and laid in a manger is now risen and reigning from heaven. And he has promised to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We still look forward to the final coming of Jesus that will usher in the eternal state of the new heavens and new earth. As we celebrate past fulfillment of prophecy, also confidently look forward to future fulfillment of prophecy and the eternal hope that is ours in Jesus. We are still called to wait and to hope like Simeon. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this record of your faithfulness to your promises. So many promises that were given to Israel of the coming of salvation that would be to them consolation and comfort and would be a light of revelation to all the world. We thank you that we have received that light, that you have granted us faith in Jesus, that we may look to him as our Savior. We pray that you would give us joy as we remember and celebrate his birth. But we pray that you would also fill us with great hope as we anticipate his return and of our eternal presence with him in glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.